I'm going to do my best to honor God with my gift. Maybe, we'll see. You'll get to be the judge of that. But this morning, we have a special treat because we're not in a series. We're doing what we call standalone sermons. And so what a standalone is that at each one of our four locations, our campus pastors are preaching something that God has been placing on their heart for their people for such a time as this. And so I get the opportunity to do that with you here for the next few moments this morning. And the thing that's really just been burning on me of late is something that I don't even know that a lot of people, Christian or non-Christian, know about. And so if you're not even a believer yet, I don't want you to tune out. I want you to lean in, see what you're missing out on, because today I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And the title for my message is Learning to Trust the Wind. And I'm going to explain to you what that means in a moment. But one of the things that I think is one of the most understated and underappreciated realities, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, benefit of being saved, having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, having the promise of eternal life in heaven and the access to eternal life now, one of the greatest benefits that most people aren't even aware that they have is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, because when you put your faith and hope and trust in Jesus and were born again, it was the Holy Spirit who came and did that. Now, some of you might be like, who is this Holy Spirit? Or you've been around churches enough and you equate the Holy Spirit with maybe the power of God, or unfortunately in this day and age, you equate the Holy Spirit with some weird stuff that goes on at church and you're like, man, I don't even know if I want to be about the Holy Spirit. I don't even know if I want to know about the Holy Spirit, but I want to tell you today, not only do you want to know about the Holy Spirit, but you want to learn more and more about the Holy Spirit, because he isn't the power of God, but he is God who delivers his power to you. And so we learn about the Holy Spirit, and first we see Jesus in John chapter 14 at the Last Supper, which we just celebrated a few moments ago. And here, Jesus is speaking of the Holy Spirit. And in John 14, he tells his disciples, because you have to understand, Jesus just said, hey guys, I'm going to go away. Okay? He has been living with these men day in and day out for 3 years. Everything they needed, Jesus provided. When they didn't know what was going on, Jesus helped them understand. When they didn't have a plan, Jesus already had a plan for them. And even if they did have a plan, Jesus had a better plan for them. So essentially, the last 3 years of their life have been governed by being with Jesus. He is and was for them at that moment what we refer to him here as the leader of their future. He was their provider. He was their protector. But now he's saying, I'm going away. And he's speaking about not just going to the cross or going to the grave, because he came back from both of those things, but he was speaking about something that would take place 40 days after his resurrection, where he would go back to heaven from whence he came. And he's helping them understand, because they're nervous. They're worried. They're like, bro, we've been with you for 3 years, and now you're just dipping? And Jesus says, don't worry. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you fatherless. I will not leave you directionless. I will not leave you in lack. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now, some translations say another helper like me, because that Greek word for another literally means of the same nature. And so when Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you another helper, he's saying, the one I'm going to give you is going to be exactly like me. And that's important to understand, because in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says that Jesus is the exact imprint or the exact representation of God. And so if Jesus is going to give us an exact imprint or representation of him, that person is going to be God as well. And he says they're going to be a helper. And I love this because it's the Greek word paraclete, which can be translated helper. How many of you could use a helper from time to time? Mm-hmm. See, some of the reason why we don't access the Holy Spirit as much as we ought to, because we only think we need a helper time to time. You need a helper every minute of the day. Yes, me too. If you knew about me, you would be like, yes, he needs a helper. Some of you are like, we know that you need a helper. Christina's told us. But he's this word for helper, it could be translated advocate, right? How many of you would like an advocate from time to time? It can be translated counselor, not just somebody who counsels you to help you feel better. That's a part of counseling. But a counselor is actually somebody who can give you instruction and wisdom when you need it. Do you have somebody in your life right now that when you don't know what to do, it's something at work or it's this or that, there's a person you can pick up the phone and call and say, hey man, I don't know what to do. That person gives you counsel. Good news is this, you don't even have to pick up the phone to call Holy Spirit, because if you're a believer, he lives inside of you. You're on speakerphone with him all the time. Some of you are like, oh man. Because some of you have butt dialed the Holy Spirit and said some things you wish he didn't hear. He heard it anyway. And here's the amazing thing. He loves you just as much as he did before he heard you. But he's an advocate. He's a counselor. He's a comforter. And Jesus says he's going to be with you forever. And then he's, spoiler alert, Spirit of Truth. So he's not just the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of Truth. See, because a lot of the counsel we can get from other people, a lot of the counsel we get from YouTube, a lot of the counsel we get from social media, a lot of the counsel we get from our raggedy, janky friends that we go to work with isn't true counsel. It's not based in truth. But the Holy Spirit's counsel is true counsel that can lead you and guide you in a supernatural way. And we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is available to help us out. Essentially, Jesus is telling his disciples and us here today that he is not going to leave us alone. He's not going to leave us leaderless. He's not going to leave us comfortless. He's not going to leave us directionless or powerless. But he's sending someone who's exactly like him, who is with us but will be in us, the promised Holy Spirit. But see, like I said, the problem is most people, even a lot of Christians, aren't even aware that Holy Spirit is there. In Acts 19, we see this play out in real time. In Acts 19, we see the Apostle Paul, he had arrived at a city called Ephesus. It's the city where he would plant a church that he would then, years later, write a letter to that you call the book of Ephesians. It is a place where in the book of Revelation, it's the first church mentioned, the church at Ephesus. But here, Paul arrives and he runs into people that the Bible says are disciples. So that to me means that they have had a born again experience with God. And so you can't be born again unless the Holy Spirit is the one who makes you born again. When you believe in Jesus, you put your faith, your hope, and trust in him, and it's earnest and it's honest, the Holy Spirit comes and he makes you born again. The old you is dead. The new you that's going to be made in the image of Jesus is coming to life. But you're a baby in faith. So they're disciples. They've received the Holy Spirit. But Paul asks them a very important question. He says, did you receive the Spirit when you believed? Now, Paul knows his theology. You know how I know Paul knows his theology? Because Paul's the one that the Holy Spirit used to teach us theology. So when he says, did you receive the Spirit when you believed? He's not talking about, did the Holy Spirit come into your life? That's already been acknowledged because they're disciples. And so he's speaking of what I believe, and I can back it up. So whether you don't believe this or not, I have the Bible as my proof. He's speaking of an experience of the Holy Spirit that oftentimes is referred to as the baptism in the Holy Spirit or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that you get more Holy Spirit. It's just that you're awakened to the presence of the Spirit's activity in your life to a greater degree. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, do not be drunk on wine, but be filled. And the Greek tense of the verb there for filled is something that's constantly happening. So he's saying be constantly filled with the Spirit. We see throughout the book of Acts, there's numbers of times where the disciples who received the Holy Spirit when they believed on Jesus, because Jesus breathed on them in John 20 and said, receive the Holy Spirit. They were born again. But then we see in Acts 2, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then several other times throughout the book of Acts, we see that the Bible says, not me, not Pentecostal doctrine, the Bible says that they were filled with the Spirit. So when we talk about Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit, baptism in the Spirit, it's not talking about getting more Holy Spirit. It's about growing in your awareness of and experience of and access to the Holy Spirit. And Paul in Acts 19, he comes to these believers, these disciples, these born again people, and says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Meaning, did you begin to start operating in a new and supernatural way that indicated to you that you weren't just normal human beings anymore? And you know what they said? We have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. See, and the reason why I'm sharing all this right now is because this is how many of us in our life operate. If you're a Christian in here this morning, there's a high likelihood that if you heard of the Holy Spirit at all, it's only because he's the last name mentioned in the Trinity. Or if you're in here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, you're not a believer, you're not born again, if you heard of the Holy Spirit at all, I'd be surprised. And so there is a possibility to be a believer that has no awareness of the Holy Spirit in your life. And today we want to work on that, because the Holy Spirit brings things into our lives that enables us to actually do life well. How many of you would like to do life better than you're doing right now? Come on. Every one of us, we want to do life better than we're doing right now. But we have to be not just aware of the Holy Spirit's presence, but what's the Holy Spirit like? Because I've been around some churches, and I am a Pentecostal charismatic. That's just a churchy word for someone that believes what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. Because there are some Christian traditions that wrongly, they are in error, and I will say it and I will speak to any of them, that the Holy Spirit gifts and all of the supernatural activity, that was just for a period of time. Show me that in the Bible.
Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, and tongues will cease and prophecies will cease. It also says, and knowledge will cease.
Y'all still knowing stuff, right? Just checking, because some people, they would answer no to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But see, what they forget is that way at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the beginning of the letter, Paul says, I pray that you would not be lacking in any spiritual gift until the day, and anytime you see that, he's talking about the day of Jesus' return. Until that day, that you wouldn't be lacking in any spiritual gift until the day Jesus comes back. Has Jesus come back yet? Then you ought not to be lacking in any spiritual gift. So we need this awareness, but not just so that we can be supernatural Christians, because you know what? I meet some people. You won't last here long if you think because you got certain gifts, you're better than other people. We got plenty of doors in this building. I'll show you any one of them. Because not one of us, there's not a spiritual gift that makes one of us better than the other person. See, and that's, sometimes people think I'm somehow better. No, I'm just the clown of this circus, okay? They knew they couldn't trust me with the lion taming job. They knew I wasn't going up on the trapeze, so God said, you're a clown. I said, yes and amen. But see, the Holy Spirit, it's not just about supernatural gifts for ministry. It's about a supernatural lifestyle that you've been invited into. And so this morning, I want us to understand that we have to learn to trust that lifestyle. And that's why the title of the message is called Learning to Trust the Wind. Because in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is represented by multiple metaphors and symbols. One of the primary ones is fire, right? And these symbols, they indicate aspects of how the Holy Spirit operates in our life. And so fire is, it's purifying, it's energizing, right? Fire is illuminating. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but this was kind of one of those revelatory things that God dropped on me just several years ago. In the ancient world, in the days of the Bible, the only kind of light that you could have also came from something fiery, the sun or actual fire. They didn't have cell phones with flashlights on it, right? They didn't have glow sticks. They didn't have snap bracelets. They just had fire and the sun and the moon, which was lit up by the sun. And so fire illuminates. We also see that one of his symbols is water. Jesus, in John chapter 7, he talks about how springs of living water are going to well up inside of you, right? And John tells us in a parenthetical statement there in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, that Jesus was speaking about the Holy Spirit. See, because this Holy Spirit that is inside of you, God wants to refresh. He wants to have flowing life, right? Water symbolizes life. You can't have life without it. Another one is oil. And we talked about that anointing as we were dedicating Olivia, right? The Holy Spirit is symbolizes with oil because he anoints us for service. Oil was used to consecrate people for holy service. He empowers us with supernatural giftings, not just to serve God in church, but so we can tolerate our kids when they're acting a fool. Help me, Holy Spirit, needs to be one of your top three prayers. Especially if you got kids, and especially if you just have family over for the holidays. Help me, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. But see, wind is the biggest one. And here's the reason why. It's not just because it's a symbol, but the Greek word, which is what the New Testament is written in, Koine Greek, and the Hebrew word, which is what the Old Testament is written in, the Greek word for spirit, which is pneuma, right? If you've ever used a pneumatic drill, that's air-driven. So spirit can be translated wind, breath, or spirit. And so this morning, I want to tap into who the Holy Spirit is, this wind, so that we can learn to trust him. Jesus, when speaking with Nicodemus, who was a religious Pharisee who literally had the Old Testament memorized, because back then the Old Testament was Jesus' Bible. He is the New Testament. Ooh, that's tweet. But this dude had the Old Testament memorized, and he sneaks to come and meet with Jesus in the middle of the night because he doesn't want to be ostracized by the religious group that he's a part of, the Pharisees, because they hated Jesus. But there was something about Jesus that is just like, man, this dude is dynamic. This dude is amazing. This dude seems more like God than anybody else I've ever met. And that's because, spoiler alert, Jesus is God. So he sneaks to meet Jesus in the middle of the night, and they're having this discussion. And in John chapter 3, Jesus says, truly, I say, you must be born again. And this dude's like, what are you talking about, bro? I'm old. I'm paraphrasing, by the way. You won't find this in any translation of the New Testament. Maybe in the Ebonics Bible, I don't know. But he's like, cuz, I'm old. How can somebody enter their mother's womb again and be born again? Because here's the reason why most of us never access or tap into the Holy Spirit. Because we approach it with a naturalistic mindset. And it's preposterous for anyone, a religious scholar or a kid in kids ministry, to think they can go back into their mommy's tummy. But see, this guy can't process what Jesus is saying. And so look at what Jesus says in John chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. He says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Watch this, because he kind of shifts it here. Look at what he says. He says, the wind blows where it wishes, right? And you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. This is one of the things I love about wind. You've never seen wind. You've only ever experienced the effects of wind. The Spirit is the same way. This is why some of us struggle. You've never seen the Holy Spirit, but you've sensed him. You've felt his effects, even unbelievers. I've had unbelievers come to a church service and they're like, something felt different. Yeah, it's the Holy Ghost, bro. It's the wind blowing through a place. And he says, so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Why? Because we are wind people. Now, this is not to qualify any of the foolishness that people do. I'm just led by the Spirit. No, the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Don't you get the Holy Spirit to co-sign your stupidness. Don't you do it. The Word of God, which is written by the Spirit of God through 40-plus human beings, that will confirm it. But see, nevertheless, we need to learn to be wind people. Because there's three aspects, there's more, but I'm going to share three aspects of wind that God wants us to understand so that when, as we're learning to trust the wind, we can take advantage of these things. Are you ready this morning? Sorry for that long setup, but the first thing is this. Wind, Holy Spirit, the wind propels us. He gives us divine empowerment for upward and forward momentum. God, hear me today, God, whether you're a believer, you're an unbeliever, whether you're in horrible, grievous sin, or whether you think you're not in sin, but you're just not as bad as the other person, no matter who you are, God wants to move you upward and forward in your life. And I know some of you right now, you're feeling stuck where you are. You're feeling down in the dumps, down in the doldrums, down in depression. God wants to lift you up. You feel like I take two steps forward and three steps back. You're not Paula Abdul. You just need the Holy Ghost in your life. See, God wants to move you forward and upward. That's what wind does. But there are two things to understand about this propelling force of the wind that we need to do, right? God wants to partner with us. There are two things that we need to understand so that we can experience God's propulsion in our life. The two things necessary are this: position and patience. Position and patience. Now first, and I'll touch on it later, you need to be where the wind's blowing. I'm gonna hit on it later, so I don't wanna get ahead of myself. But the position that I wanna talk about, I want you to come along with me and think of a boat. Now in the Bible days, there was only two ways to move a boat. You could row the boat, or you could sail the boat. Or if you was a lazy bum, you could let the current go along, but I'm not even counting that as a way because you're not moving the boat. You're just letting life happen to you. But see, if you were in a sailboat, you need to position your sails in a way to catch the wind. Because if you miss the wind, you don't go forward. But if your sails are off, if they're not as loose as they need to be, or they're too loose, you will not capture the wind in the way you need. So you have to position yourself in a way to catch the wind. Some of you need to be like sails and open yourselves up to what God wants to do in your life. And all the forward momentum that you're trying to produce will be produced by the Holy Spirit in your life. Because that's why some of us don't tap into the Holy Spirit. We like rowing the boat because you get to be in control. And even if you get where you want to go, you don't even know if that's where God wanted you to go. And even if it was where God wanted you to go, you know what happens when you get there, Mr. Rowboat Man or Rowboat Woman? You get there tired and worn out. God wants to move you into destinies that are so amazing for your life, but you've got to position your sails just right to catch the wind. But here's the other thing. You need to be patient enough to wait for the wind to blow. My God. See, that's why some of y'all like to row. You don't like to wait. Can I say it? You don't like to wait. Holy Spirit's God. He's not on your schedule. But here you are. God's got a great plan. He's got a great destination for your life. But the wind has decided to not blow, and you're getting born or frustrated, so you put the oars in the water and get to rowing. And wonder why you're tired, and then blame it on God because he didn't blow when I wanted him to. You got to have patience. You've got to wait on the wind. This is why people don't like the Holy Ghost in America, because we like to be in control. We're control freaks. You're a control freak. Well, I wanted to be in that relationship, but the wind didn't blow you there. That's why you're tired. I wanted that job. That wasn't the job the wind wanted to blow you to. That's why you hate it. Can I say it today? See, we need the wind in our life, not just because it gets us where we want to go, but it gets us there in style. Psalm chapter 46:10, write it down and get it in your heart. What's it say? Be still and know that I'm God. Stop trying to row your boat.
Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a nightmare.
Look, open your sail to the Holy Spirit and let him propel you into the future that he has for your life. See, the Holy Spirit propels us, and the Holy Spirit refreshes us. See, this is part of the package with propulsion, right? How many of y'all seen Titanic? Yeah, come on. And some of y'all are lying. You seen it. I know you did. I just read a post yesterday, changed my world. That little diamond that Rose had, she had it the whole time, sneaky old trick. I seen the overhead shot. There was plenty of room on that piece of wood for Leo. Like, for real. That's me hanging onto the edge of my bed because my wife just, I get this much. And I'm glad I've been to jail. I learned how to sleep on a little narrow piece of bed. It was preparing me for marriage. My God. Holy Ghost, help me. But she had the jewel the whole time. Dropped it off, this $250 million jewel. $150 million that whole time. Threw it away because she slept with a jobless man one time. She could have gave that to her kids. See, Rose was the real villain of the movie. See, you didn't know that. But see, before everything went down, there's that scene. It's the most famous scene in Titanic. They're on the bow of the ship. Come on, help me. I'm the king of the world. Didn't that look refreshing? That's what happens when you let the Holy Spirit propel your life. You feel like the king of the world. But if you're smart, you say, oh no, Jesus is the king of the world. I just get to go along for the ride. Woo! We heard it last week from Pastor Keith. We have a king. We have a king. But see, the refreshing from the Holy Spirit, it provides life to us. For those of you who are Bible nerds like me, back in Genesis chapter 3, when we see Adam and Eve, they had sinned. The Bible says, and I love this, this is going to wreck some of your theology, but I got a sledgehammer today. It's demo day. Because you think God's too holy to look on sin. The first thing God did when man sinned was went looking for him. Put that in your theological pipe and smoke it. Because some of y'all are like Adam and Eve. What did Adam and Eve do? When they sinned, they hid from God. God ain't far from you. You're far from God. Come out from hiding and talk to your papa. But the Bible says that they went and hid when they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Doesn't that sound refreshing? Fun fact about the word for the cool, it's the same word for spirit and wind. See, God wants to invite you into a cool of the day moment. He wants to bring you into refreshing. He wants to bring you into enjoyment. Listen to me. Some of you are living a stale existence because of your refusal to tap into the Holy Spirit. God wants to refresh you. But there's an even greater aspect to refreshing, and we see it in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Peter just stood up under the power of the Holy Spirit and preached the gospel. And the Bible says their hearts were cut to the quick. And they were like, brothers, what must we do? And he says, repent then and turn to God. That's what repentance means. It means turn from whatever else you're going after that isn't God. Turn from that and turn to God. Because some of you, you don't need to repent from sin. You just need to repent from some idols, which is sin anyway. You're chasing other things and not God. You wonder where the refreshing of the Holy Spirit is. The moment you repent and turn to God, that your sins may be wiped out, that's when the times of refreshing will come. God wants to refresh you. God wants to renew you. God wants to breathe on you. He wants to lift you up and put wind in your sails. The third thing that the wind does is the wind removes things from our life. This is why repentance is so important. In the Bible days, they were largely agricultural, and one of their chief staple products was wheat. And wheat had to be processed. It had to be harvested, and they would bring in the bundles of the wheat, and they would throw it on the ground. I know it sounds nasty, but go to just about any other country in the world, and that's how they're cooking your food. And to be quite honest with you, I worked at Eaton Park. That's what they're doing there, too. I'm going to just keep it a buck with you. Just suspend disbelief when you're there. But they would throw it down on the ground, and then they would take this heavy, like a sled, like a, called a threshing sled, and they would drag it over the wheat. And the reason why they would do that was break the pieces of the stuff, because really all you wanted was the kernel, not the whole wheat thing. So they would drag the threshing sledge over it. And then they would take this, like a what we would call a pitchfork. It was called a winnowing fork. And they would take it after it had been threshed, and they would take it and they would throw it up into the air, because the wind in the desert, it would blow at higher altitudes. That's why people, when they wanted to get refreshed, they would go up on the flat roof of their house to catch that desert breeze. And so they would go to a place called a threshing floor, usually on a higher point in town, and that's where they would thresh the wheat. And after it was threshed, they would take the winnowing fork and they would throw it by pals up into the air. Why? Because the wind would come and blow the skin, the chaff, off of the wheat kernel, and the heavy wheat would fall back to the ground, and the chaff would be blown away by the wind. Why is that important? Because Psalm chapter 1, verse 4, God says that the wicked will be blown away like chaff. And there are things in your life right now that God wants to supernaturally remove. Some of you have been trying to discipline yourself out of certain sins. You just need to yield to the Holy Spirit and let the wind remove those desires from you. Some of you need to let the Holy Spirit come and remove some relationships, some ideology, some mindsets, some emotional pain. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit wants to remove it from your life. He wants to do all the heavy lifting. Look at what Galatians 5:16 says. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What's he saying? If you are enjoying the wind, you won't ever want to do anything else. That's the truth. God wants to do that for you because it's refreshing. It's energizing, and it removes things from your life. God wants to do it. And so the question is, how do we catch the wind? I'm going to have the worship team come up because I want to give an opportunity to pray. There won't be any kind of an official dismissal. And the reason is because I have asked and I believe that God is going to let his wind blow here today. And the upward and forward momentum that you've been seeking, God wants to do it in a moment today. The refreshing that you've been longing for, God wants to do it in a moment today. The removal of things from your life, God wants to do it in a moment today. But we have to know how then to catch the wind. Three easy steps, and I'm out of your way. The first is this, and I mentioned it earlier. You have to be where the wind blows. You have to be where the wind blows. You ever try to fly a kite without wind? It doesn't work, does it? So you got to find where the wind is. Now, I believe that this is a good place to find the wind. But I'll be honest with you. I was just in a service, not here, at a different place, place that I'm intimately familiar with, and it broke my heart, and it just felt so dead and lifeless, and I literally asked myself this. This was before God even gave me this. I said, where's the wind? But see, if you spend most of your time and energy in places and pursuits that do not align with godliness or biblical spirituality, then you can't be frustrated when you don't experience the wind in your life. See, he wants to remove those things, but there's also a participation. He wants you to get yourself out of some of that. Some of it you don't need him to blow away with because it's well within your power to put it down or to get away from it. Are you in depressing, non-spiritual, ungodly situations? Some of you are like, we just had family over for the holidays. Yes. See, and this is going to sound weird. That's why a lot of my personal family, not Christine's family, my family, it's not that I don't invite them anymore. I just have a responsibility to cultivate the wind in my house. Because there's a nautical term used to describe places on the earth where the wind doesn't blow. And it's usually right there around the equator, about 5 degrees latitude to the north, 5 degrees latitude to the south. It's the hottest place. And because of the heat and the direct sun, it's a place where wind doesn't blow. And sailors actually called it something. They called it the doldrums. Now, you might be too young to know doldrums as a term, as a synonym for being down and depressed. I'm in the doldrums. But see, they took that word and they said, this is exactly what this windless place is like. And some of you are in spiritual doldrums right now. Your vessel has brought you to a place where there is no wind. And no matter how much you wait, the wind's not blowing. But I believe that there's an understanding that comes from how sailors actually got out of the doldrums that I believe is applicable for us here today. Because there was only three ways to get out of the doldrums. You could wait it out and hope the current just pushed you out. Some of you right now, you've resigned yourself to just waiting it out and going with the current. But it may not get you out. Another way, and it's the way most of us would try because we like to be in control. You would put the lifeboats in the water and you'd get sailors and you'd start rowing with ropes. You'd tow the ship out of the doldrums. But it's incredibly difficult. But see, the way that most sailors would actually, they would get to a place where the doldrums were so bad, they would actually look to see, because one of the things that the doldrums were known for was sudden and abrupt storms. Winds of hurricane force. See, now most of you, you want to avoid the hurricane in your life. You might be in a hurricane right now and be like, why would God let this hurricane come? Because the storm is meant to blow you out of the doldrums and get you back on course, because God has a great destiny for your life. He wants to get you out of the doldrums, and sometimes it takes a storm of great force to blow you out. But what you need to do is set your sails and get ready to enjoy the ride. But you got to be where the wind is. The second thing you got to do is you got to learn to sense the wind. You got to learn to, you got to get around wind people. You got to be in wind environments. Many of you are going to go home, and in an hour and a half from now, you're going to watch the greatest kicker in the NFL, Christopher the Wizard of Boz Boswell, kick 19 field goals because our offense can't score a blessed touchdown. We are going to score a multiple of 3. That is a guarantee. But see, when you watch a field goal kicker kick, they're focused on the ball except before they get ready. Because they look up at the top of the goalpost and there's little orange flags. And that helps them to sense where the wind's going. What am I saying? You need to learn to sense the wind, and you can't do it unless you engage in windy environments with windy people. You need to get in the Word of God. You need to learn to worship. I don't mean sit in this room and let them worship. I mean you engaging in worship. Well, that's not how I am. God didn't ask you. Do you want wind in your life? Do you want refreshing? Do you want removal? Do you want propulsion? Learn to worship. Engage in the wind. And when you engage with the wind, you learn to sense it. And even if you're in situations where it seems like the wind isn't blowing, you're able to go, it's about to come. Oh my God. If I could tell you how many times my ability to sense the wind because of times learning to sense the wind has helped carry me through moments where I felt like I was in the doldrums and there would never be a wind to blow again. I have learned to, it's coming. Elijah on Mount Carmel prayed and seven times sent his servant. He said, I hear the sounds of the abundance of rain, but there hadn't been rain for 3 years. He was hearing something in the spirit realm and he began to pray so that he could see it manifest in the earthly realm. And six times his servant went and said, bruh, I see nothing. He said, go again because I heard it in the spirit and the wind's about to blow. And he said, look, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Because things look small when they're far away. But it didn't take long for that cloud to get there. And rain and wind. Oh man, God wants to saturate us today. But you've got to learn to sense the wind. And the third thing is this. You got to learn to lean into the wind. Y'all remember Smooth Criminal? See, you knew it was about to be hot when Mike started the song with shaka chaka. Look, if you start a joint with shaka chaka, it's about to go down. And he still ain't okay, but you remember what he did? He said, whoo. See, you've got to get like that in your life. You've got to learn to lean in to the wind. See, because here's the thing. You naturally don't feel like worshiping it. I know, I don't. Actually, I do. I love worship because I love the wind. I love the refreshing. I love the propulsion. But I know most people, you don't love to get into prayer. It's hard. It's like, oh my gosh, I gotta read my Bible. You mean I gotta go to connection group? You mean I gotta give? You mean I gotta, no. You've gotta lean into the wind. You've gotta force yourself, because here's the thing. Kites and planes don't fly with the wind. They fly against the wind, because there's an aerodynamic reality that what happens is, you ever watch a bird in flight? The bird looks for where the wind is blowing and then alters the angle of his wings so that he can catch the wind at full force and go to heights that you'll never reach. What am I saying? You've got to learn to lean in to oppositional forces so that you can catch the wind, because God wants to bring you higher today. But you got to lean into the wind. You've got to push past distractions. You've got to push other things aside. In Jeremiah 23:13, the Lord says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And so this is what we're going to do today, church. Our prayer teams are going to come up. You want to go home? You want to watch Chris Boswell sense the wind? Go for it. No harm, no foul. I'm not hating. I'm not hating on you. Or maybe, just maybe today, you want to set aside the distractions of your afternoon, all the other things clamoring for your attention, all the other things you want to do, and say, I need some wind in my life. I need some wind. I need some things removed. I need some refreshing today. I need some propulsion today. I know it. It's the holidays, bro. If you're not feeling it, look, some of you just need some tryptophan blown out of your life. You just ate too much turkey and too much stuffing. But whatever it is, we're going to open up these altars. And if you have to leave, man, God bless you and thanks for being with us this morning. If this is your first time, stop by the connection point, get your gift. Don't leave without that. But far be it from me to ensure you get a plastic cup with the church name on it. but not give you an opportunity and an invitation to come and get some wind in your sails today? That's what these people have been praying for, and that's what we're going to believe for. So right now, if that's you, I just want you to come. Just begin to come forward to receive prayer. Just come and allow yourself, say, I'm going to lean in today. I'm going to learn to lean in today. I'm not just going to look, because here's the thing. Some of us use church as a week-to-week or month-to-month bump. Woo. If I just get that wind on Sunday morning, I'll be all right. Man, you can catch the wind all the time. Actually, you can be a wind person. You can become a wind generator. God wants to set you up in such a way where you have so learned to master the wind, you walk into work, and guess what? Wind blows. Refreshing breaks out. God wants to do it in you and through you, but you have to let him do it for you. So if that's you, I want to invite you to come up. And if you got to go, hey, if you got kids back in kids' church, man, this would be a great opportunity. Grab a hold of them, bring them in here. Bring them on in here. Say, we're going to catch some wind today, baby. I don't know what God's going to do, but he's going to do something. If that's you, go ahead, grab your kids. Or head on out. But I pray that this was a blessing to you. I pray that this was worth coming in the Sunday after Thanksgiving to catch some wind in your sails. God bless you. Come and catch the wind.